Hallelujah. I'm cool, yeah. Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. All glory. God is good. All the time. You know, we have been talking about, and the Lord gave me the vision of the three whirlwinds. And I can only share with you that we are in it. And, man, I can't shake this right now, but it's just so powerful what's happening. You know, one of the things is if you were standing in front of a wave that was moving from you, you know what I'm saying? In other words, if you're standing on the shore and the water comes in and then the wave goes out, back out, you see nothing but sand. And when, you know, when the Lord said that the first whirlwind would be help, it means he's pushing back our enemies. You know, the closer you are to that wave, you begin to feel turbulence. Even though it's not coming towards you, it's going before you. See, the thing is then what you see is just, you see solid ground. And in that, if you notice, most of the drilling of oil is in the ocean, isn't it? So as we were praying in the Spirit, I saw this drill, big drill, start to drill. And he says, you're drilling for oil. Why? Because I'm pushing back your enemies. I'm pushing back your enemies. And in this pushing back of our enemies, and remember he said that in the next world, when we was coming ahead, sacrifice on it. In other words, he heard our sacrifices. He sees. He's picking up requests. And then the third whirlwind is provision. But there's a process of all of this. And I think one of the things the enemy, you know, the Bible tells us that deception is Satan's greatest weapon. In fact, deception is the greatest weapon that there can be. Deception stronger than nuclear weapons. Chemical warfare. Deception is what kills people. Because they don't know what they're being influenced by. And I really believe that one of the things that the Lord is sharing right now, and we talked about having to be on solid rock, chained to the rock of salvation, chained to Christ during this time. So that whatever turbulence is coming, whatever storm is coming, whatever it is, as God's pushing back our enemy, we need to be solid now, no matter what. And in this, one of the things that the enemy is beginning to infiltrate, because he's already infiltrated our country, he's already infiltrated the world system because he was the ruler of the world system, and that's Satan's kingdom, is he's infiltrated in the area of false security. And he's established in individuals' lives an area of false security. And that's something that we need to discuss tonight about false security. In Jeremiah 17... Jeremiah 17. Verse 5. Would you read it with me? Jeremiah 17, verse 5. And let's speak it together. Thus says the Lord, curses a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his what? Strength. This is one of the false securities that the enemy loves to infiltrate. He has already infiltrated. He is promoting false promises and all kinds of things that are trying to get people to trust in false security. trusting in lies. It says, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So when you make your flesh your strength, you know what you do? You depart from the Lord. When you begin to rely on your talents, your abilities, and all the things of the carnal, you begin to depart from the Lord. See, no matter what's going on in our life, our security must be in the Lord, and that's that. There is no other security. None. For he shall be like a shrub, in verse 6, in the desert, and shall not see when what? Good comes. Because he can't see things spiritually. See, as soon as the enemy gets you into a place where you've taken the bait of false security, you become blind to what God is truly trying to do. You're more interested in what you're going to do. For he shall be like a shrub in a desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. In other words, you become dry in the spirit. You become dry. You no longer thirst and hunger the way you used to. You become complacent and compromised. And you begin to procrastinate. You begin to utilize your own carnal reasoning why you don't seek God the way you used to. Is everybody okay? See, what begins to happen is now you're becoming satisfied on your own abilities. That is a complete false security. And this is what the enemy loves to implement, because he knows he can draw you away from God even though you think you're close to God. In verse 7, but blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, and whose heart and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And will not what? And will not what? And will not what? Fear. Fear. Will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be what? Anxious. Oh, hallelujah. In the year of drought. So he won't have fear, and he won't be anxious, nor will cease from yielding fruit. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So one of the things that the enemy is trying to truly implement, which he's done a very good job, is false securities, false promises. Tries to get individuals to become independent instead of dependent. Or get an individual where they're not totally dependent on the Lord, but they're only dependent on the Lord in certain things, but not everything. See, he must be the only thing that is secure in our life. Why? Because if you lose your job, you're secure. If you get ill, you're secure. If tragedy comes, you're secure. No matter what comes across your path, you're secure. Has everybody got it? You're secure. Why? Because you're secure in him, not in you. The world has nothing to offer you but a lie. It's called false security. And that's what the enemy is implementing. And I'm seeing it. He has infiltrated the body of Christ with false securities. He has stolen much money from the body of Christ. People rob God of tithes and offerings because of insecurity. They don't increase in things because of their insecurity. They're more secure in themselves than they are in God. And that is false security. In Psalm 4, who's responsible for recognizing this? We are. People make covenants they can't keep because of false security. Because they're still relying on their own strength. Psalm 4, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek what? Falsehood. Is falsehood false security? Yes. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell safely. In other words, he was confessing that there was stuff going on around him. But he was saying, you know what, Lord? You're my only security. This is it. There is no other security but you. You're the only security I have. The only. In Psalm 18, in verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol or hell surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. So we see here that he was confessing, you are my strength. Yeah, I'm in a little trouble here. I'm surrounded by all of my enemies, and they're saying all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of things going on. And I'm hearing all kinds of falsehoods and all kinds of people that are trying to give me information to give me false trust. But you're my strength. You're my fortress. You're my shield. You're my everything. You're my provider, and you're my deliverer. Again, the enemy has infiltrated the system, the kingdom, the body of Christ with false security. There are many promises, but they can't deliver. And in their promises, the only way they can deliver is by a catch of deception. In other words, they make a promise, a person accepts it, but in this promise there is still deception, even though the surface level looks good. It's a false security. Anybody ever tell you to promote something and come to find out it wasn't right? Invest in something that wasn't right? Amen? You know, I get people that come to me all the time, try to tell me to invest in this and invest in that and whatever. And, you know, the greatest investment you and I can have is the kingdom of God. There isn't any greater stock than stock in the kingdom. In Psalm 37. In verse 1, you know, I believe that the Spirit is trying to set a boundary in our life. Sometimes we've overstepped that boundary and become more secure in ourselves than in the Lord. And I believe that this boundary right now is going to be more brighter, more thicker, and more visible. Because this boundary is to protect us from the flood that is coming, so we're not washed away. In Psalm 37 and verse 1, it says, what? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. If you're feeding on His faithfulness, are you secure in Him? Yes. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you something. The desires of your heart will be His desires. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So we are to feed on His faithfulness because we are secure in Him. Anything else that we're secure in is a false security. It's insecurity. Everybody got it. It's false. Only the things of His promises and who He is. That is it. It's what we're secure in. Everything else is a false security. Romans 16. You know, people trust in people because in the kingdom of God, we don't look at the bad, we look at the good. We give the person the benefit of the doubt. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it's truly innocent until proven guilty. In the world, it's guilty till proven innocent. That's how it is, no matter what they say. You go to court, you're guilty until you got to prove yourself innocent. Other than that, you're guilty. In the kingdom of God, it's totally opposite. You are innocent until proven guilty. Oh, hallelujah. And so in this area, what happens then is because you're innocent until proven guilty, people can get offended easy. I can't believe I trusted that person. And you know, in a person that's really gets offended easily is a person who's not secure in the Lord. They're not secure. They're secure is a false security in themselves. Because we know things are going to happen. And no matter what happens, it doesn't matter. God still has the last word. He has the last say what happens in our life. The world right now is under distress, fear, and anxious spirit. They are under a false security. They're trying in a hope that's not even true. They're hoping things are going to get better. For us, it's no doubt. Things are going to get better for me no matter what it looks like. I mean, what's the worst thing that we can happen? We can die and go home. Praise God. So how can things get any worse? You know, they can't get bad. You know, in the kingdom of God, we don't have bad days. We may have a day of struggle because you're basically struggling with yourself because you know what happened? You became the one that was secure. I'm secure in me today. Uh-oh. That's when struggle comes because what you do is you get your eyes on you and off the Lord. Oh, what about me? Wait a minute. He owns me. I don't. I'm under covenant. If I'm under covenant and he bought me and paid the price for me, then I'm under warranty. I have a lifetime warranty. Amen. And I have benefits. Health care, right? By his stripes I'm healed. I got a provision plan that says he does far above all I could ever ask or think. Amen? So see, what happens is the enemy causes you to begin to look the way the world looks, the way the world sees. And we really have to combat this area of false security because secured in ourselves is false security. You should be the worst one to trust. You. I don't trust me. I have to crucify me every day. The only one I can trust is him. Other than that, if I put my trust in me, I'm a false security. So everybody got it? We trust in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 16. Did I say 16? Good. See, I told you couldn't trust me. In verse 17. Let's speak it together. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're what? Why? Because where is their security? In self. So what's the fruit of this false security or security in self? It says what? Come on, what does it say? They cause divisions and offenses. Hello. It says, for those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, be more sensitive to that. Don't just shrug things off. Look at them. Amen? Look at them. Talks about flattery lips because flattery lips is associated with self-security or false securities. And Psalm 15. My job is not secure, but my employer is. Hallelujah. See, if you're employed by Christ, if you're laboring unto the Lord, then he's your employer. Does everybody got it? It's when you begin to labor unto yourself that you look at man as your employer. You labor unto the Lord, he's your employer. Then you can be secured in your employer. Psalm 15, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Let me share something with you, that if you are secured in the Lord, and if you think about security, secured, something that is secured, sometimes you have to secure something down before it's, so it doesn't blow away, right? Well, this is where we need to be secured to the rock. It is essential that we are so secured to the rock that nothing matters. Nothing matters. Because we are eternally bound, not temporarily bound. Amen? So our security must be in him, or else it's a false security. In Luke 6. Now the world will try to bribe you, won't they? The Lord, and this is where the Lord warns us. He said, look it, if you'll abide by this, this will keep you in a place of security because you'll be secure in the Lord. But this is what the world's going to try to do. And if you abide in these things that I'm sharing with you, he says, you'll never be moved. Luke chapter 6. Verse 47. Luke 6:47. False security. Let's speak this together, please. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Everyone say dug deep. That's the person that gets deeper in the spirit. He's not a surface Christian. He's a deep Christian. And laid the foundation on the what? Rock. On the what? Rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth, on the what? Earth, without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was what? Great. So again, one of the things that the enemy will try to do to get you to unlatch yourself from the rock of security, who is Christ, is to sway you or bribe you with a insecurity. He tries to move you. There's always that insecurity. When the enemy starts hitting you with the what ifs, What if? He's trying to promote reason. Reason can lead you to an insecurity because reasoning is the guillotine of faith. So we need to be built on the rock, chained to the rock, secured to the rock. and we won't be moved. Again, there is no ungodly options. Ungodly options are always a false security. Lust is a false security. Hello. Is everybody with me? Do you get it? Lust is a false security. Oh, it's love at first lust. No, it's actually lust at first sight, isn't it? So we must be secure in Christ and allow the divine order to continue to be manifest in our lives. That's why it's important to be around. The Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. In Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. David prayed this prayer and said, blessed be the Lord my what? My rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. So is there training on the rock? Yeah. The training is to keep you on the rock. My loving kindness and my fortress. My what? High tower and my deliverer. My shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Wow. So he confessed here, the Lord is my rock. He trains me on this rock to battle. Psalm 62. Starting at verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to... Oh, hold on. Psalm 62. I was at 61. But I know you'll forgive me. You have to. Or you won't be forgiven. Let's try this again. Truly my soul silently waits for God. For him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. How many of you know that you can have a false expectation? Why? Because it's a false security, isn't it? And then people go crazy. Oh, I don't know why God never did that, because it wasn't God. You had a false expectation. Verse 6. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him a couple times a day. Trust in him when? At all times, you people. Pour out your what? Heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You know, so many times people, like, they run everywhere else but to him. you know, don't take this wrong, but don't run to your Bible first. Run to him first, personally. Oh, where are you going? Like God lives in a book. Witches believe that stuff. Witches believe the witchcraft of the book. Our God does not live in a book. This is a testimony about him. But God doesn't live in a book, man. Amen? So I want to encourage you, when things are happening, run to him. Pour out your heart to him. Don't tell him how to do it. Oh, Lord, you know what I need. Oh, no, man. Tell him what an idiot you've been. Lord, forgive me for being a bonehead. Lord, you know what? I'm in distress, and I've allowed this myself. Obviously, there's some kind of false security I have. And if I have entrusted you in everything, I am sorry. Forgive me, and I give it to you now. That's why the Bible says cast your cares upon him, right? Why? So he can be your full security. You don't need a security system. He's your security. All the cameras are not going to help you. They're not going to prevent something from happening. That's all they do is record it. Yeah, yeah, look what happened, man. Oh, good. I don't want to be recorded as something happening. I want it not to happen. They keep telling us, you need to have cameras in here. For what? What, am I going to record what happens? It's already recorded. Hallelujah. Oh, so if you're on the rock, chained to the rock, you're secure to the rock, you're not going to be moved. Exodus 17. Exodus 17, in verse 2. Now the Jews are in the wilderness with Moses. They just came out of Egypt out of bondage. And God took them out in the wilderness to get Egypt out of them, so that they would learn to be secure in him. It says in verse 2, therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord like the Lord won't provide? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod. Everyone say your rod. With which you struck the river, and go. So the Lord gave Moses a rod, didn't he? Something that would be a point of contact. And look what the Lord says. This is powerful. He says, behold, I will stand before you there on the what? On the rock in Horeb. And you shall what? Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, this is very powerful, because the Lord was establishing him and giving this. You know, the things in the Old Testament are so prophetic of the things that were to come. And here the Lord says, okay, going out there, I'm going to stand on the rock. So there's the Lord. He says, I'm going to stand on this rock, and you're going to strike, and water's going to come out. In other words, this is going to be your foundation. This is how you're going to be solid, because you can't get on the rock without drinking this water. You must maintain drinking of this water to get on the rock, or to maintain on the rock. Because the water that came out of the rock was a representation of the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. And so he's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. We're to the three things we abide in is his presence, his word and prayer, right, and fellowship. So in this, he's saying, look it, here I am standing on this rock. You can stand on this rock too, but you must maintain drinking. You must maintain drinking of this life. That's why Jesus said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood if you want eternal life. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 7, let's read it together. Therefore, to you who what? Believe. What's the word believe mean? Follow. He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a what? Chosen. You are a chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood. Now, I want you to grab hold of something, because what he's expressing right now is he's expressing the second chamber of the tabernacle. Because there's three chambers of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. The second chamber of the tabernacle is where priesthood is established. And that's where the drinking is constant. So everybody got it. The outer court is where the sacrifice is constant. The second chamber is where the drinking is constant, the offering, the praise and worship. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what? Fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So in this, we must understand that we are a royal priesthood. And to maintain your priesthood, it's one who ministers to the Lord. As you're ministering to the Lord, you're drinking, aren't you? It's the first office that we're to fulfill. A person that cannot minister to the Lord won't be solid on the rock. It's impossible. Because they live in the outer court. And the outer court is the closest place to outer darkness. Does everybody understand? And in the outer court, it's associated with temporary, because it's, you know, that's where a lot of contemporary music is and all the other stuff, you know. There's no contemporary music in the holy place. The holy place, there's nothing but worship. That's all you do in the holy place. So the enemy has even infiltrated a false security in contemporary music, even Christian contemporary music, because it's temporary. Put you in a temporary state. What it does is put an individual in the outer court. How many times do you need to hear the message? Okay, now it's time to get up and worship the messenger. See, what that does is keep a person in the outer court. And that's all they're doing, is it's the message of salvation all the time. It's all you're hearing. But the place of the holy place is where you worship. That's where worship is. And so many people, which is a false security in temporary music, contemporary music, even Christian contemporary music. Rap does not worship. It's a message. Rock does not worship. It's a message. All of these things are messages. And there's nothing wrong with the message. But once you got the message, how many times do you want to hear it? Okay, I got it. Where is he? Now you want to be seekers. You want to be ones who seek his face. Other than that, and listen, I'm telling you, many of the people in the body of Christ, this has become a false security to them. Just because they listen to Christian music, they think they're Christian. Not even realize that some of these Christian bands are satanic. Hello. And that's all they've done, is they proclaim to be Christians to make money off the kingdom. But they are actually servers of self. Jeremiah chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? That's why Jesus warned us, didn't he? Many will come in my name. But we're to know them by the fruit, aren't we? Jeremiah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let's speak it. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be what? You shall not be moved. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. So in this it's saying, listen, you need to move these abominations away. Need to move the abominations away. Amen? Because by moving the abominations away, we won't be moved. Things that cause us false securities are an abomination. In 2 Samuel 22. In verse 2. Let's start at verse 1. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies." Psalm 92. Psalm 92, in verse 10. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." In other words, there's no unrighteousness on the rock. Has everybody got it? Anything that's practicing unrighteousness is not attached to the rock. And when the flood comes, it blows them right off the rock because of a false security. In Psalm 121, Psalm 121. Starting at verse 1, let's speak it together. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade of your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Where is he going to preserve her? Where must you be? On the rock. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, let's go to Hebrews 13 first. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. In verse 5, Hebrews 13, verse 5, let's speak it together, please. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Because the security is in the Lord, isn't it? And you are secured to the rock. 2 Timothy 2. Oh, it's good to hear the pages flying on a Tuesday night. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 19. Let's speak it together. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. And we're going to close at Daniel 11. Hallelujah. False securities. Be careful. Verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. I'd like us all to read this together, please. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. 33. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by a sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. So you must understand the vital importance of us to maintain that security on the rock. Many will roll, Many will fall. Many will become deceived. Many will believe that God's left them. Some people will even go to the far that there is no God. Again, we are in a troublesome time. But for me and you, it's going to get greater. But for the world, it won't. And we're there to help get them on the rock. Amen? So we can all go home and get this over with. But in the meantime, we have a job to do, don't we? So our security is in the Lord, not in anything else. Amen? He is our rock. We are chained to that rock. We are secure to the rock. That way we are not moved. Not anxious. Amen? Not fearful. All trusting and willing to do whatever it takes. All the way till we get to the throne and he says, enter in my good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we ask that you continue to give us the discernment of any false securities that would come up to us, come before us, or anything that we're attached to right now to insecurity, to any false securities. And Lord, we repent for holding on to any false securities. And we break and loose ourselves from every emotional attachment of false securities and command those spirits to loose us and to leave us and go to the pit and never return. And we bind ourselves to the rock of salvation, to the solid foundation of Christ Jesus in truth and power, and to the anointing of Christ, who's the eternal presence, power, and truth in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.